It truly is. What you don't know can hurt you. If you came home one night and all of your property had been trashed, things had been stolen from your house, and you realized that a thief had come and had taken, you know, all of your valuables. Listen, if you had a heads up, if you had some kind of information ahead of time to tell you when, who, what, everything about the thief's arrival and what he had planned to do, then you'd be prepared and you'd be able to do something about it. What you don't know in the world of spirituality, in the world of your relationship with God, the world's relationship with the present and the future, what they do not know can definitely and will definitely harm them. Hey, this is Russ, ShadowTheDarkness.net. We are giving the 15th session right now in the course that we have called Basics of Spiritual Warfare. There are 15 separate sessions. Let me mention, for those that are in the course, it began with the War on God, Rebellion. Number two, the War on Man, the Tempter. Number three, the Fall, DNA and the Sin Nature. Number four, the Fallen World System and the God of this Age. Number five, the Work of Satan, the Sin Nature and the World. Number six, the Work of Satan, the Sin Nature and the World on the Saved. In other words, how does it affect the saved? And then how does it affect those who do not know God? Seven deals with the victory of Jesus on the cross and the foundation of what Jesus wielded there on the cross. It'll go on to talk about Jesus Christ, his victory over Satan, the sin nature, and the fallen world, and then the applications. Please remember, Jesus did not go to the cross for himself. There was nothing that he provided for himself. He didn't atone for any of his own sins. He never sinned. Everything he did at the cross was for your life. Every single person listening to this voice right now, I'm proclaiming to you what the Word of God would say. Hebrews 4 tells us that he was without sin. He was the substitute, that he knows how to handle the issue. He knows how to deal with temptation. He knows what you're going through. Yet he is without sin. This is Christ. This is God in human flesh. This is, as we proclaim from the Word of God, as Isaiah said, Samuel the prophet said, Moses said, Jeremiah said, or the apostles of the New Testament, even the elect angels of God, as they arrived and proclaimed on the birth of Christ. So very important for us to understand. In the world that we live in, there is spiritual warfare. The Bible declares that the struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not just the physical causes that we see around us. The Word of God would reveal that there are spiritual causes to the damaging effects that are going on in the world on a global scale, a military scale, a governmental scale, and then also in our personal lives, like Job and like Peter and others. There is really a radical evil that that hates the human race. And there is the God of heaven. There is a radical good. And that is God. God so loved the world. And I think that when you take a look at the cross and examine, maybe the one listening right now is not a believer in Christ. And if you would just simply examine Jesus and the cross, and there's nothing like that in all of history. It's unparalleled. It is unequaled. It is incomparable. So I want you to take a look, if you would, for your life and to realize that there is someone that loves you so deeply, and he knows all about your life, and he's reaching out. It's God seeking you. Now, for the individuals in the class and the course, obviously you're taking this for your own growth and development. You understand the difference between good and evil, the realities, the spiritual realities behind that. But the Word of God gives a revelation of the satanic presence, nature, character, agenda, that tells us that there is an incredible power behind what he is doing, that unaided mankind cannot penetrate, cannot win over. It's obvious. But let me say this, that as Jesus comes in revealing radical evil and destroying, defeating, and so forth, let me just share again one verse from the Bible. This is in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, where it says that the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And I think that's very important for all of us to understand this. The reason that he appeared. Yes, he demonstrated good. Yes, he fed people. He raised people from the dead. He healed the sick, and he restored the sight of the blind and the hearing of those who could not hear and the speech of those who could not speak. You know, this is amazing. This is the amazing Christ. That is the Gospel of Mark, demonstrating the amazing, incredible work of Jesus. There is none like him. And that's why it's very important in the age that we're living in. Because again, even as I do this broadcast, we're living in the age of the most critical spiritual deception and seduction and subterfuge. We're living in a day of the fulfillment of ancient prophecies concerning the depth and the breadth and the length and the height of dark presence. And we that have come now to Jesus and received Christ as the living Christ, we who know him, we have been given revelation specifically for our life and power and victory and authority and the armor of God and all of these the things that God has given to not only give the foundation of victory, but the application of that victory all the way to the end. And so I want to begin with and there's notes. If you're taking the course, there's notes for every session. And the sessions are broken down basically in some cases, there's one session to a web page. In some cases, there are two sessions to a web page. And there's probably about 15 hours to the entire course, Basics in Spiritual Warfare. Now, for those that may be getting this, because this is one of those sessions, and usually in the courses we release one, sometimes two, depending on how many hours, of the sessions for others to hear, and if they're interested, they can also partake in the course, and hopefully there'll be also benefit just from listening. So this is actually the last session of the Basics of Spiritual Warfare. And this is the session that gives a wrap-up of the entire course, but also the crucial insights and the applications to what we need to do to demonstrate. Because it's an incredible thing to not only see radical evil and feel its presence in and through people and realize how deadly and how real it is, but on the other side, it is an incredible, awesome blessing to experience the power of God, the beauty, the grace, the mercy, the presence of the living Christ who is, in my life, my King of Heaven and my friend, my God and my Savior. And in your life as a believer in Christ, he is the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah, 2,700 years ago, in Isaiah chapter 6, he looked up, he had a vision. The pre-incarnate state of Christ, he looked up and simply cried out. You know, he looked at the seraphs as they were singing. And he listened to the song of the seraphs, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." This is the God who is eternal and infinite, but yet in history he acts in accordance with time. He acts in accordance with history's development. He acts in accordance with the laws of creation in our lives. And so there's a progressive revelation in the Old Testament. There's eventually God coming in human flesh. But Isaiah, 2,700 years ago, cried out and he looked up. And there was a declaration of the seraphs and so forth. Of this, who is this sitting on the throne? And the cry in the Hebrew is Yahweh Adonai. And the New Testament reveals that Isaiah saw Jesus high and lifted up prior, 700 years prior to his incarnation. Now the angelic realm and the demonic realm know this. When Jesus came, the elect angels of God, they knew this. The demonic world also knew this, and Satan himself also knew this. And it's very important for us to understand, yes, Satan has incredible supernatural powers as a finite being. In comparison to the infinite power, the omnipresence, omnipotence, omniscience of God, there is just absolutely no comparison. This is not about yin and yang. This is not about Zoroastrianism. This is not about the dualism of the Gnostics and the dualism that's found in the New Age. This is about the infinite, personal, living, forever, everlasting God who is immeasurable, immortal, invisible, but yet reveals himself as the relational, personal God that he is. This is the difference between the finite and the infinite. So I want to encourage you, if you have the notes, I'm just going to touch over the notes, give you a bunch of scriptures with that. If you've got the notes, or maybe you're just listening, you want to write some notes down yourself and take a look at some of the scriptures, you can do that online. You can go to BibleGateway.com. You can, or if you got a Bible at home, listen. Under this factors that we talked about in session number 14, we talked about factors about, you know, developing victory. But in 15, part of those factors would include 15, session number 15. It's prophecy. The prophecy of the satanic agenda is for our victory. It's for our welfare. It's for our good. God has strategic intelligence. As powerful and supernatural and secretive as Satan has been, as incredibly seductive as his work really is, there is nothing he can do, plan, arrange that God doesn't know about. So it's very important for those who are Bible students and those who want to learn biblical knowledge to realize that of the massive amounts of prophecy in the New Testament, much of that deals with revelations on the satanic nature, the satanic agenda, prophetic insight into the, well, as of 2,000 years ago, of what Satan would be doing in the last hour. The Bible calls it the last hour. And then of this day that we're living in, when we reach this global critical mass, when we begin to see fulfillment of prophecy, and listen, prophecy is for us to understand the days in which we're living, to look at the seasons, and to be able to say, like Peter on the day of Pentecost, hey, this is that. I mean, the power of God fell on the day of Pentecost, and listen, it was incredible. And it was the fulfillment of prophecy hundreds of years prior from the prophet Joel. And I'll mention something about the accuracy of the prophecy of God. But we begin with, listen, as God gives intelligence and insight to and reports in the scripture by the Spirit of God, you know, the specific and select things that Satan will do on the face of the earth, how he operates, what his method is. This is why the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, if you read, listen, just read the first chapter alone, you're going to find out. He says, we are not unaware. We're not unaware. And he doesn't want to be outwitted by satanic methods, by the strategy. The Greek word methodology is here. That Satan has a strategy, a method. There are methods to his madness. And there's global agenda. There's a national agenda. There is a political and military and spiritual agenda. There is a citywide agenda. There is a racial agenda. And there is personal agenda. So the Word of God reveals radical evil unlike anything. No spiritual other, you know, at least claimed book, spiritual book will do this. There just simply is not. And there's no ability to grasp seducing spirits that bring about alternative counterfeit spirituality are not going to reveal accuracy concerning the nature and being and agenda of the satanic kingdom when they're out deceiving, and that's all that's all they know about, know what to do anyway. So I have listed on the first part of session number 15. Number one, Satan is real, on the move, and racing towards his goal. And I'm saying this again based on the biblical reality. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Spirit of God paints a picture, a big panoramic picture of the work of Satan. The Greek word for work means a supernatural operative power. And you can look it up in the Greek all you want, but it deals with a real act of power. It's the same Greek word used for those who believe in Christ. The word of God will become effectual at work in your life. That it is going to be God. Philippians tells us, the book of Philippians, it is God that is at work in you. Supernatural operative power. So in the lives, in everybody's life, there is an operation, an operational power at work. And it is either the power of God, or it will be the work and power of the enemy. As you read Ephesians chapter 2, the ruler of the power of the air is now at work in those who are disobedient, those who reject God, those who want to live out. When they want to live out wickedness and evil and so forth, that becomes part of the laws of engagement. It permits the satanic agenda, the personal presence of demonic entities to work in those who want to operate in evil, and it becomes the doorway. And that's pretty clear again. So there's this great big picture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 of the work of Satan. It talks about the Antichrist there that, you know, again, prior to the writing of the book of Thessalonians, probably some estimate 600 years or more, the book of Daniel is written and talks about this person called the little horn, this incredible entity in the last days, this, well, we know him as the Antichristu, the Antichrist, and that he will come with such ferocity and such a revelation of the apex of the satanic kingdom. It's the final grab of global domination and rule. And it'll come through political and military and even a alternative spiritual stream. And the world, and again, the Bible predicts that the dragon, the ancient dragon, the book of Revelation, who leads the whole world astray. And that will happen to kings and political leaders. That will occur among scientists and others. All those who are in the realms, listen, and if you are, this is very important, if you are in the realms of political power and military power and financial power and even spiritual power, leadership, then and you've got to understand the satanic agenda. There is a targeting, because he seeks the seats of power and he looks for that. And that's how he'll begin. But Satan is real. And listen, the reality of radical evil is all around us. Not only when you hear about, just serial killers and murderers and crazy things, or you think in terms of Hitler and the Holocaust and the piling up of hundreds of thousands and millions of bodies and piles of them being moved by steamrollers and shovels and so forth. When you see the kind of radical, incredible evil, as I've seen, even as involved in cult crime, to see the kinds of satanic rituals and just evil and cruelty. Yes, there is the issue of man fighting and harming man. Cain did slay his brother Abel. And there is this thing we call, the Bible calls, the sin nature, the sin force. But that has a connection, Ephesians 2, to the ruler of the power of the air. So what I'm sharing here is, even though there's people in the world that will not believe that there is a real devil, a real Satan, a real Lucifer, I think some people believe that he might be there and they don't want to deal with him. That most likely is around somewhere, but have no idea of his origin, of his nature, character, agenda, his works, how he has operated. Well, listen, this is what the Bible does in Old Testament and New Testament. You know, Satan has everything to do with the fall of the human race, everything to do with misery and pain and disease and war and bloodshed and dysfunction in society. He has everything to do with that. everything to do with the fear of death and the elements that involve dying. Hebrews chapter 2. You can read about it there and what Jesus did to conquer that. And so when we talk about the reality of radical evil, not only have I confronted demons hundreds of times in human beings in exorcisms, but see the reality when they speak and look through a human body as they possess a human body. You know, I've seen that side of them. And they're for real, just as God's angels. And listen, those in the New Age, they believe all angels, and they talk about, their angels and so forth. You cannot escape the fact that there are billions of on the demonic side. One third of the angelic host rebelled, and they also, they were in their nature, in the DNA of the, whatever their substance is, spirit. They were radically, they disintegrated, they changed. Literally the best word for Lucifer, the fallen cherub, and for the demons is transmutation. A absolute mutation of the original. They don't act and even look like they originally were. So the reality of radical evil is here. The Bible also reveals his nature in being. Ezekiel 28 talks about, again, the anointed cherub and when it began. And the force of the idea of the rebellion. It wasn't that he slipped or messed up. It was a purposeful, planned, violent rebellion against God. And even in the book of Isaiah, you can read where it talks about the five I wills. When Satan would take over, again, that reveals the agenda to take over the authority of God as he came to take over the authority of the human race and hold authority on the earth. And the Bible reveals that he does hold, for a time period anyway, authority on the earth. 1 John chapter 5, what does it tell us? If you're in the course, a lot of these verses will be very familiar to you. 1 John 5 tells us that the evil one, as the Bible describes him, who is in control of the whole world. In control of the whole world. Or 2 Corinthians 4:4, he is called with a small g, the god of this age, who blinds the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ, who is the icon of God, the image of God, it's literally the invisible God becoming visible in the incarnation. And so it's very important that we realize the Satan's nature and being. And the Bible not only reveals God's nature, his being, and so forth, but it also reveals the radical nature of this evil, its hatred of the human race, its hatred of God, its use, seduction and use of the human race to get at God. Now listen, that's part of what you need to understand. Some listening to my voice right now, in your life, there's probably been times where Satan, in your sins, literally used you to bring harm to others or deception to others and whatever else. But it is by the mercy of God, the grace of God, that he pulls you out of that, takes you out of darkness into what the Bible calls his glorious light. So when you understand that Satan is real, that he has method and strategy. Now listen again, 2 Corinthians, when you read in there chapter 1 about this methodology. Now that's important because Paul talks about this, that he would not be outwitted. And that's very important for anybody who is a believer in Christ, that you would not be outwitted by the strategy. And God not only talks about his strategy and shows his principle and reveals him, but you've got to know this, to know on a daily experiential level. On Ephesians chapter 6 tells you very clearly that your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against what? Unseen. Now the word against is used about five times. Against rulers and principalities and powers. Against spiritual, wicked spiritual, evil spiritual forces in the heavenly realm. And so if you understand that many of the physical effects in your life that are taking place come from or are spawned from spiritual sources, as there's an attack on your life spiritually to get you to give in, to get you to give up, as you feel sometimes, like, look at Job's life. Job finally realized how real Satan was, but he didn't know about it to the end. The neat thing about Job was that God knew the end from the beginning, and in a fallen world where there is attack, it's a great demonstration that without the mercy of God, we who have sinned and given this doorway to the enemy are at the mercy, where there is no mercy in Satan. We're at the cruelty of Satan, his agenda. If not for God's intervention, we're annihilated, my friend. We're annihilated. We're consumed. We're literally living a hell, and we're in misery, because the satanic presence, the satanic agenda, is not only just for the destruction of the evil one, you know, of humanity. Yes, he loves to seduce and keep people from being saved. But it involves not just the slaughter of the human race, but the use of the human race. Hence, Ephesians 2. The ruler of the power of the air is now at work, a supernatural operative power in those who are disobedient. So he's operating in the wicked to fulfill the agenda. 2 Thessalonians 2 tells us that even the Antichrist himself will come to fruition. There will be an apocalypse, a revelation. It will really occur. And it occurs not by the hand of God. It talks here in 2 Thessalonians 2 by the supernatural operative power, a super secretive power, powerful work of Satan. He will cause the counterfeit incarnation, probably through bloodlines all the way back to the Nephilim, most likely. But clearly, factually, biblically, it is Satan who spawns the Antichrist. And all the Bible shows us in the Old Testament in Daniel, the New Testament in not only in Thessalonians here, but in 1 John, and also majorly in the book of Revelation, that this counterfeit incarnation, this incredible manifestation of satanic presence through humanity on the face of the earth, will be, number one, the greatest deception the human race has ever seen. Number two, it'll bring the greatest destruction in the billions in less than a 7-year period. Deception always leads to destruction. That is very clear. Even in the beginning, the fall of the human race. Well, we've gone through some of that in the earlier parts of the sessions. Just what does Satan want? Well, obviously, he wanted to take over the throne of God and rule. Obviously, the revelation, the Spirit of God paints the picture and reveals clearly in 2 Thessalonians that he wants to take the place of God. He wants to be worshipped above everything that would be considered God or spiritual or godly or gods. So he's going to come. That's why he's using New Agers, and he's using those that are in seductive secret societies and cults. He's using people like the Brotherhood and the Illuminati and all the rest. He's simply using them as the stepping stones. He will step on their heads and literally sacrifice them. They are the sacrificial altar to his apocalypse and to his attempt at godhood. But as we've always said, the finite cannot become the infinite. Satan never will, never has, is not, and cannot become God. Yet he attempts it. So if you understand the agenda, the insatiable agenda, all the powers of hell, all the powers of the satanic kingdom, all the powers that are in his hands with billions of demons, and even on the earth, hundreds of thousands that literally worship him, that are a part of a new world order. And also then those who are being used of him. Maybe they don't even know they're being operated. I would say this in the area of music, in the area of the arts, philosophies, political ideology, and even alternative spiritualities, many of them have no idea who it is they're connected to. What is the source of the spiritual force in their life? Reminds me of a song years ago that Ozzy Osbourne from the group Black Sabbath sang. I think it was on the album cover, Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath. And I always love to do lyric analysis and listening to his lyrics and hearing him one time cry out about an evil presence that might be menacing his life. He cried out these words, "Who in the hell are you?" I think that there's many people that realize that there is something going on and they want to ask, who in the hell is that? Now, hell isn't a bad word. It's a bad place. And they have no idea. They have no ability to detect. I'm sitting in a room right now. I cannot detect radio waves. To my right is a clock and a FM AM radio, and I can click it on and listen to talk radio, but I cannot. I do not have the means to detect, the ability to detect the waves that are coming in. As I shared in the past, I sat on the beach at Huntington Beach, California, numerous times, 30, 40 times. I don't even know how many times now. And one time I sat there knowing that across the ocean is China. And just as and again, I was probably only around 23 at the time. I sat there looking, thinking, I'm going to squint my eyes and look and do all that I can to see if I can. I wonder if I could see China. I had no idea what the distance was. But even your eyes are limited. Your ears are limited. I cannot hear the sounds in the city of Akron, which is probably about, 15 miles from me. I cannot hear the sounds of the cars, the motors, people working on the road, conversations at Starbucks downtown Akron. I can't hear any of it because my hearing and your hearing is limited. Our eyesight is limited. Our perceptions are limited. That's true spiritually. And as a fallen, as unsaved individual, where my human spirit is dead to God, and the Spirit of God does not live in the unsaved, there is really no spiritual grid by which, or power or authority by which you can detect radical, real, satanic evil, demonic presence, and the agenda, false doctrines of demons, like in many of the books, Course of Miracles, Eckhart Tolle's The New Earth, anything from Alice Bailey and Blavatsky and Aleister Crowley, and I can, you can name many books, many, many different books in the New Age, are being written with a different spiritual source. If you've been saved and your heart has been, and your spirit is alive, the Spirit of God is inside of you, Romans 8, and the Spirit of God gives you insight and so forth, and the Spirit of God gives you a sense of detection, and the Word of God corresponds to the Spirit of God, because, why? The Word of God is the language of the Spirit. The Word of God is the speech of God the Holy Spirit that has been inscripturated. It is now the grapha, the writings. And the Word of God says of itself, these are living words. And that's what we're looking into. That's why I'm saying that we need a knowledge of the satanic presence, nature, being, and agenda. And that knowledge is accurately and infallibly, if I could say it that way, brought to us in biblical revelation. So we're going to go down a little further here now. On the two pages of notes, for those who have the notes, point two, the infinite over the finite, good over evil forever. Well, that's just simply true. I love to say, and I've said this in preaching and conferences, the Lamb, referring to Jesus, runs circles around the dragon. When you read the book of Revelation about the dragon, the ancient dragon, the biblical revelation is the idea of the full historical force of the nature, being, and agenda of Satan. So when you see the idea of the dragon, you have the concept of the full force, the full revelation of what he is, what he's about, and what he's doing, and what he's about to do. And so point two is simply the infinite over the finite, good over evil forever, and that's the truth. God is bigger and better, if I can say it in the simplest terms, because he's immeasurable, he's omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. Satan is not. He does have a presence, he does have a knowledge and wisdom, and he does have power. For any Christian to deny that and not to realize that, you are not going to have a sharp spiritual edge and really a clear insight. It will relate to your personal walk too, if you don't know the reality, biblical reality. The Spirit of God wants to give us this insight. And obviously it is here before us. Obviously for the believer in Christ, you're called to get into it and to really look at it. In the garden, we lost, but God did not. And that's very important for you and I to understand. When the human race lost, God did not. It had nothing to do with the reflection of God. God not only gave us our innocence and our eternality, we were eternal beings, but he also gave the Word of God that would have preserved the human race. Please don't miss this. Young theologians, please do not miss this. The word, a simple verse of Scripture would have saved. One word from God would have saved. If it was adhered to and put into practice, it would have saved the human race from the disgrace, the death, the possibilities of eternal judgment. I mean, the wages of sin is death. God said it in the beginning, and God gave a word to protect. And that's what he's doing in our lives, a word that we might not sin against him, a word that would bring total protection to our lives, because the word can live in us as we not only believe it, but put it into practice. And by the way, you can't truly believe it without putting it into practice. See, there's a head knowledge for some people. The Bible even says in the book of James, the demons believe but tremble. In other words, they know that Jesus is real, but they don't pledge allegiance to him, and they don't obey him, and they don't follow him. No, they live in utter terror of Christ because of the evil they have done and are and what they did in the beginning. So very important for us to understand, we lost in the garden. We sold out the human race. We sold out the earth. We are the cause and not God. Now, the other side of the story is God crushes evil, and he restrains and breaks, and he will rid existence of all evil. Now, if you look in Genesis, even when the collapse of the human race and Satan became God of this age, this fallen world, God stepped in and he clothed Adam and Eve, and he began to issue grace. And if you look into Genesis 3:15, you see the proclamation of the coming gospel, the coming Christ, and the war that will occur, where Satan will bring and literally bring a bruising to Jesus, but Jesus will crush the head. I mean, literally bring annihilation to the work and being of Satan. The book of Exodus, when you think in terms of Moses getting out of Egypt and Pharaoh. Pharaoh is a type of Satan. I mean, look at the entire thing of the ancient blood of Nephilim, the pyramids and everything, the incredible satanic supernatural power, language, symbols, everything about the culture would have been utterly demonized. And look at the people of God. They were brought into slavery, harsh slavery. They weren't annihilated, they were used to build the satanic kingdom of Pharaoh and of that occultic, and again, they subjugated the people of God and to force them into labor to promote and to advance literally satanic kingdom. And God was able to step in, and through the laws of engagement, somebody that would believe God, somebody that would be willing to be used of God, Moses, that God would do miracles and powers and signs and wonders in a spiritual attack against the satanic kingdom that was manifested in Egypt and through Pharaoh and through... And so you look at the power encounters, Moses and the staff of God, the rod of God, as he threw it down when the sorcerers created snakes out of their sticks. There was a demonstration of the power of Satan, but there was a greater demonstration of the power of God over that work of Satan. So in the Psalms, you'll see the victory of God over evil. In the Gospels, you will see a revelation of Jesus immediately, not only when he arrives, but in Matthew 4, as we talked about in the earlier in the course, the attack literally on the Son of God and the temptation to try to get him to sin and to break, and the use of the Word of God that, again, preserving, demonstrating the preservation, because Jesus is the second Adam. He is representing the human race. And as representative of the human race, he never sins, never gives in. He wins in every category. He wins for our sake. Now, if you were to take a few moments also and study Revelation 12, I already mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the strategy of the enemy. The strategy. Paul reveals in order that Satan might not outwit us, this is in verse 11, chapter 2, verse 11 of 2 Corinthians, that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. We're not unaware of his schemes. Are you aware of his schemes? Greek word method, the idea of methodology, strategy. Are you aware? The Word of God will give you an incredible, accurate revelation of his being, his nature, his agenda, how he operates, so that literally you will be able to detect and realize how he works. And God also then gives you authority in Christ, Luke 10. Put on the armor of God, Ephesians 6. That Jesus himself says in 1 John chapter 5 concerning the evil one, that Jesus will protect us. Protect us. Do you realize now it's a spiritual battle? It's really a spiritual battle. Revelation 12 gives us this enormous picture, this painting of a picture, a panoramic view, that Satan, it reveals that Satan knows scripture, that he knows prophecy, and listen, chew on this for a little while, okay? Satan may know more scripture than most any biblical scholar. He may know prophecy more accurately than anybody that teaches prophecy. The reason I'm not saying he knows it in the good way. He has to know it because he has to fight against it. Satan fights against the recipients of prophecy so that he can attempt to nix the fulfillment of prophecy. Revelation 12 bears this out. It bears out that Satan has emotion, that he's furious, that he's enraged, that he's going to go fight. Listen, Revelation 12 shows us that the dragon is prepared and ready. Hundreds of years of prophecy has been telling the people that Messiah is coming, Emmanuel is coming, that the Christ is coming, and that he'd be born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin, and all the prophecies that relate to the arrival of God in human flesh. Obviously, Satan knew. He was there waiting for the Christ child to be born. He was waiting. And the Bible reveals that he was waiting for one reason: that he might devour the Son of God, that he might destroy the Son of God. Do you understand the insatiable? I mean, Satan just will not stop. He attempted to want to attack the throne of God. And he's called in the book of Isaiah, "You fool," and he was cast down. The finite cannot in any way take the throne of the infinite living personal God. Yet in Revelation 12, where it's again revealed that Satan is waiting. He knows prophecy. He's waiting for the Christ child. He wants to destroy him. The picture is there of the death, resurrection, and ascension, that Jesus is snatched up to God, that then he goes to attack Israel, and there's a revelation of the protection of Israel. And when he can't annihilate, listen, he seeks to annihilate Christ. He seeks to annihilate Israel, and he's seeking to annihilate Christendom, real Christianity. And in all three cases, biblical revelation also shows us that he could not, that Jesus is indefeatable, ultimately Israel is indefeatable, and ultimately the church is indefeatable. Indestructible is a great word. Jesus is indestructible, and the two entities on the earth of divine origin, Israel and the church, they are also indestructible. They will have fulfillment in the end, though they've battled and lost battles in between. They will, Jesus said about the church, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not, the gates of hell will not prevail, will not destroy, will not withstand the advance and onslaught and agenda of God's agenda for the church and the world. And so we see this in the panoramic view. We also going to see that God crushes evil in this sense. Revelation chapter 19, the return of Jesus. Just study that return. Just look at Revelation 19, 19. I could spend 2 hours, verse by verse, just on that alone. To move on in our study, though, because of the time, take a look at again at prophecy, or at the first page of your notes on session 15. Point number 3. Dealing with the power and blessing of biblical prophecy. Two things. The Spirit of God tells of God's agenda. All biblical prophecy has its source in God the Holy Spirit. Old Testament prophets, New Testament prophets and apostles, every written prophecy in Old Testament, probably 300, that referred to the coming of Christ, other prophecies that refer to the millennium and the return of Christ, and then the New Testament is packed. I mean, study Daniel and look at the prophetic elements of Daniel 2,700 years ago. Look at Psalm chapter 2. As of now, 3,000 years ago, the prophecy that God would literally be speaking to the nations, to those of you who are kings, and presidents, and senators, and governors, and people in power. God gives a warning. Psalm chapter 2 was written 3,000 years ago as God would be speaking to you. And the Spirit of God is speaking out, why do the nations rage and conspire together against the Lord's anointed? The idea of the New World Order is real. There is a satanic fuel behind that development, a absolute satanic fuel behind that development, and it's coming. And we see it in the world around us right now. But you need to understand, if you're a world leader, that Satan seeks your throat. He seeks your heart. He seeks your mind for one purpose, to operate in a place of power, to convince and bring a multinational, global political unification and military. And if you will study Revelation 19:19, you know what Revelation 19:19 is? It is the fulfillment of Psalm chapter 2, where the satanic, politically and militarily, the military, the most powerful, incredible military in the face of the earth, will be there. This is so far beyond the 1st Battalion, Earth, that Jim Shannon brings about. But that at least prepares the way. The occult military complex, there's a reason why. Because in Revelation 19:19, listen to me. It is called the Great Day of God Almighty. It is spoken about in Revelation 16, where the dragon, the beast, the counterfeit incarnation, and the false prophet join together in a biblical revelation of probably the most powerful ritual release of powers in human history. It's the idea of the unholy Trinity triangulating, joining together in the release of powerful spirits that do miraculous, miraculous, supernatural things for one purpose, to draw the kings, political leaders, military leaders, to gather together. Have you read this? Have you read that in Revelation 16? It's all about gathering them together, and I'm going to read it to you, referring to the powers. They are spirits of demons performing miraculous signs, and they go out to the kings, political and military, of the whole world to gather them for the battle on the great day of God Almighty. Revelation 16, verse 14. The demonic powers flowed out of the mouth of the dragon, the mouth of the beast, and the mouth of the false prophet. And if this session ever gets into the hands of satanic leaders, Luciferians, those who know ritual powers, you know that when you acquire powers, you're able to release them through your mouth, let alone other agencies. But that chapter precedes Revelation 19 in the visible apocalypse. Listen, Antichrist has already had his apocalypse, Satan's apocalypse on the face of the earth. Now God will have his apocalypse, the absolute visible return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is descending. He has already caught up his church. You, if you are a Christian, are listed there in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, where it refers to the armies of God, verse 12 and so forth, as it goes down as you read. And what does it say? Verse 14, and here's where you are, believer. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. That's the redeemed. That's the redeemed of the Old Testament and the New Testament who have been caught up, glorified, now in immortal bodies. The demonstration of clean, the idea of clean and white linen, the idea of God's righteousness, based on Jesus. And there you are. Look at Revelation 19:19. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this. I've done so in other places. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war, on the rider, to make war on Christ. See, Satan knew about the first coming of Jesus and his being born. Satan, listen, here's the revelation of his strategy. He knows, Satan knows about the second coming of Christ. He knows about the visible, revelation. He knows the timing. He knows when he needs to take out his armies onto the field to stop the descent of Jesus in the visible return. Revelation 19:19 is the fulfillment of the prophecy in Psalm chapter 2, where the nations are conspiring together to do what? To make war on the Lord's anointed. Who is the Lord's anointed? That is Jesus Christ. So New Agers and Luciferians and New Earth spiritually, oriented individuals, you need to understand that you're going to be caught up. You're going to be caught up like a wave. You see, the waters of a tsunami can't help itself because the force behind it is the shifting tectonic plates underneath. And when the satanic tectonic plates shift, those who are in league with the satanic Luciferian counterfeit light will be moved out onto the field like cattle, and battle and seek to be there to do one thing, to stop the most historic, incredible event in all of history since the creation of the world. That is the return of the living Christ in power, in majesty. Read it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Read it in 1 Thessalonians you know, also. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And then when you read Psalm 2, when there's a crying out, why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? That's exactly what's going on. The kings of the earth take their stand against the rule, and the rulers that gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one, Christ. Look at the quote. The quote that will be in their minds and hearts is, let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. Again, because the finite, whether Satan would have billions of demons and billions of people in the most technologically advanced army in human history, the most satanically energized army in human history, he cannot scratch the surface of hurting or doing anything against the God of heaven. Well, I've spoken enough a long enough time about that. Let me mention the last page here concerning 1 Peter 1:10. The heroes of old, 1 Peter 1:10, if you look there again, because of the idea of prophecy having a benefit. The heroes of old, prophets, they spoke of future grace, what you and I now as Christians have received. They searched intently, which we should be doing also. With the greatest care, we should be doing the same. To find out the time and circumstances of the fulfillment of prophecy. You and I should be studying biblical prophecy to look for the times, the circumstances, how we can see it help us in our walk, in our warning the world, in our witness to the world. Back in those days, the Word of God reveals it was the Spirit of Christ in them who was pointing to the prophecies and the fulfillment of prophecy. And it's the Spirit of Christ in you. If you're a believer in Christ, who's leading you and guiding you to understand some of these prophecies and to realize the end goal of the satanic agenda. Now notice when it says this, when he predicted, the Spirit of God, that's why I'm saying and will say all along, every prophecy is of God, of the living God, is given by the Spirit of God. Old Testament and New. Now, false prophecies in Nostradamus and every psychic and so forth in the world sense and in other prophets and the Mayan prophecies and all the rest, they come from a different spiritual source. And they will have a different spiritual conclusion. Finite spiritual sources, finite conclusions, and obviously in the finite demonic spirits that bring about prophecies or predictions, it's very clear that they're not accurate. They cannot be because they're not omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. They will try to fulfill their own prophecies and imitate and counterfeit what God can, has done, and will do, but not one biblical prophecy of Old Testament has gone unfulfilled. Not one of the New Testaments two New Testament ones that tell us of the future, even now of Israel and of counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles, and of the rise of Antichrist and all that's going to occur, all of those will accurately be, will be fulfilled. And on God's side, he's going to fulfill prophecy that eventually, again, the goal, save the most, bring the saved home, glorify them, the return of Jesus, the great millennium, the new heaven and new earth for real. And also then God's insight on Satan's attempt at global rule and of his defeating Jesus in the return and trying to rule the human, on the face of the earth. Ultimately, Revelation 19 through 22, will give you a revelation of the defeat of Satan and eventually the final annihilation and absolute separation of radical evil from the kingdom, presence, and power of God. Well, the revelations and predictions of the satanic agenda, who are they for? You know what they're for? They're for the salvation of humanity. They're for the salvation of humanity and our spiritual victory. It tells us that Satan will counterfeit and deceive and provide alternative spirituality. The prophecies tell us that Satan will work in governments and military to grab power. that tells us that Satan will seek one world system, unifying and the world and excluding anybody that wants to love God, love Christ. Satan will fight against the church. Satan will bring counterfeit incarnation, the Antichrist. Satan and his development of technology for the end, obviously. Satan and the attempt at global annihilation of Christendom. Revelation 7, we'll talk about that. Satan's attack on Israel. And all of those are revelations of biblical prophecies, some of which you've gone through in this course, some of which you've heard right now, and that you should study deeply. Deeply. Not only in the book of Daniel, that will correspond to the book of 2 Thessalonians, which will correspond with the entire book of Revelation. Let me finish this up by saying this. How do you respond to biblical revelation prophecy? The present and future history. It's all about the present and also future history. God knows, number one, know God's agenda. God knows what's going on. Nothing surprises him. And he has inscripturated, the Spirit of God has given us the graph of the writings of these prophecies and revelations of Satan's being, Satan's method, Satan's agenda, Satan's ultimate goal, so that we can, what? Warn the world. Ephesians 5 tells us in that chapter to expose radical evil, to expose it, to warn the world, to tell about it. And then also, we are to seek the powers of God, the Spirit of the Lord, and God's grace, salvation, and healing, and deliverance, and so forth, and advance the kingdom of God. This is the, other than the return of Jesus Christ, the salvation, healing, and deliverance of life, and the advance of the kingdom of God is the greatest display of the authority and power and mercy and grace and compassion of God and of his destruction of the powers of evil. We've been given authority to trample on dark powers and to overcome the power of the enemy, all the power of the enemy. Luke chapter 10. We use these prophecies then to fight against radical evil. We use these prophecies in the warning of the world, the warning of the lost, and maybe if you're listening and you're lost, a warning to you that if you are outside the kingdom of God, you will go down the drain of history. And yes, hell is real. Is there any reason why you wouldn't love the God that loves you, that you wouldn't love Christ who died for you? Is there any reason right now you will not give your heart to Jesus Christ? Do it now, my friend. I warn you in the presence of God, in the sight of God, that rejection of Jesus, thrusting him off, living your own alternative spiritualities, listen, you will lose your soul. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world yet lose his own soul, Jesus said? You will lose. And you're losing right now. You don't have the love of God, the power of God, the might of God. You don't have the living, personal presence of God in your life. Jesus wants to come into your life and apply to you total forgiveness, bring into your life a freedom from the sin nature and from satanic legalities in your life, and infuse into your life a new nature, a new power, the Spirit of the living God. If you will repent, that means metanoia, turn around and change, and cry out, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life. Fill me with all of who you are, your power. I accept you as Lord and Savior. I accept your forgiveness, your freedom, your gift of eternal life. Why can't you do that right now if you're not saved? And if you're saved, listen. God defeats Satan and his agenda. And he's done this through people like Moses, little David in the face of Goliath going down on the field while the rest hid up into the rocks. And God's power is displayed through the obedience of his people. So, you are God's instrument of grace, power, and victory. Reread Hebrews 11. Restudy Acts chapter 8. The Philip factor demonstrates that the laws of engagement, God bringing his power, his authority, his love, his salvation, his healing, his deliverance, it all comes through redeemed individuals who will be God's instrument to reach others. Are you willing to let God use your life to reach others for his kingdom? What better thing do you have than that?